Welcome to the Sermon Podcast from St. Andrew's Lutheran Church in Columbia, Missouri. Here are this week's scripture readings and the sermon.
A reading from Ezekiel. The word of the Lord came to me. What do you mean by repeating this proverb concerning the land of Israel? The parents have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge. As I live, says the Lord God, this proverb shall no more be used by you in Israel. Know that all lives are mine. The life of the parent as well as the life of the child is mine. It is only the person who sins that shall die. Yet you say, the way of the Lord is unfair. Hear now, O house of Israel, is my way unfair? Is it not your ways that are unfair? When the righteous turn away from their righteousness and commit iniquity, they shall die for it. For the iniquity that they have committed, they shall die. Again, when the wicked turn away from the wickedness they have committed and do what is lawful and right, they shall save their life, because they considered and turned away from all the transgressions that they had committed, they shall surely live. They shall not die. Yet the house of Israel says, the way of the Lord is unfair. O house of Israel, are my ways unfair? Is it not your ways that are unfair? Therefore, I will judge you, O house of Israel, all of you according to your ways, says the Lord God. Repent and turn from all your transgressions. Otherwise, iniquity will be your ruin. Cast away from you all the transgressions that you have committed against me, and get yourselves a new heart and a new spirit. Why will you die, O house of Israel? For I have no pleasure in the death of anyone, says the Lord God. Turn then and live. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us read from the Psalm 25 responsively. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul.
My God, I trust in you. Let me not be put to shame, nor let my enemies triumph over me.
Let none who look to you be put to shame. Rather, let those be put to shame who are treacherous.
Show me your ways, O Lord, and teach me your paths.
Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. In you have I trusted all the day long.
Remember, O Lord, your compassion and love, for they are from everlasting.
Remember not the sins of my youth and my transgressions. Remember me according to your steadfast love and for the sake of your goodness, O Lord.
You are gracious and upright, O Lord. Therefore you teach sinners in your way.
You lead the lowly in justice and teach the lowly your way. A second reading from Philippians. If then there is any encouragement in Christ, any consolation from love, any sharing in the Spirit, any compassion and sympathy, make my joy complete. Be of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourselves. Let each of you look not to your own interest, but to the interests of others. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed me, not only in my presence, but much more now in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is at work in you, enabling you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When Jesus entered the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came to him as he was teaching and said, "By what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you this authority?" Jesus said to them, "I will ask you one question. If you tell me the answer, then I will also tell you by what authority I do these things. Did the baptism of John come from heaven, or was it of human origin?" And they argued with one another, "If we say from heaven, he will say to us, 'Why then did you not believe him?' But if we say of human origin, we are afraid of the crowd, for all regard John as a prophet." So they answered Jesus, "We do not know." And he said to them, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I am doing these things. What do you think? A man had two sons. He went to the first and said, 'Son, go and work in the vineyard today.' He answered, 'I will not.' But later he changed his mind and went. The father went to the second and said the same, and he answered, 'I go, sir.' Jesus said, but he did not. Which of the two did the will of his father?" They said, "The first." Jesus said to them, "Truly I tell you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are going into the kingdom of God ahead of you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and the prostitutes believed him, and even after you saw it, you did not change your minds and believe in him." The gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Matthew highlights Jesus' authority as central, albeit contested, issue in throughout the gospel. Matthew is not content, however, with the simple claim that Jesus possesses divine power, or even that his power surpasses that of worldly leaders. Matthew focuses instead on the nature, the source, and consequences of Jesus' power. He aims to demonstrate not only that Jesus is more powerful than the world's powers, but that his power is of a different kind, a power that produces healing and reconciliation rather than alienation and violence. From the moment of Jesus' entry into Jerusalem, Matthew focuses ever more insistently on the assertion, demonstration, defense, and finally affirmation via the cross and resurrection of Jesus' authority. With these words, Stanley Saunders begins his commentary on Matthew today. Indeed, what the church hears is a challenge to Jesus' authority, with the Pharisees framing the question, indeed setting a trap. By what authority are you doing these things? And there is the cue that something has happened before this. It is important to know where we are in the story. Jesus has entered Jerusalem on a donkey. Some scholars articulate Jesus' entry not so much as triumphal, but rather as a counter demonstration to the show of force on the other side of town, where Pilate and his military crew were coming into town to keep the peace by force, if necessary. Jesus doesn't come into town on a stallion, on a charger, on a war horse. Rather, he comes in on a donkey. In Matthew's gospel, Jesus heads to the temple and challenges the economic system of the money changers and the sale of sacrificial animals. Some scholars note that while there was good reason for that sale of sacrificial animals, because frankly, it would have been difficult to make a pilgrimage with the animal and to keep it unblemished and appropriate for sacrifice. The system, though, had grown to be quite exploitive. It had been corrupted. As Jesus leaves town that day, And presumably outside the vision and the awareness of the religious leadership, Jesus sees a fig tree that is not bearing fruit. He curses it. And then the next day when he's coming back into town and passes, it has withered. The Jewish annotated Bible notes that the incident with the fig tree represents judgment against the temple leaders and the people of Jerusalem for their lack of faith in Jesus. All of these are the things that have the religious leadership now asking questions, challenging Jesus for his authority, and in the meantime, hoping to lay a trap. So here we are, hearing about two brothers and a father. In their own way, both brothers fail their relationship with the father. But one repents. One turns around. Indeed, has a change of mind. So, thinking about the church today, what changes are necessary? What ways of thinking, ways of doing, ways of being church are necessary as the world shifts at this time? Ezekiel begs the question of righteousness. The author calls the people to follow God's law. The church has heard Jesus articulate that law in fundamental terms: love. Love God, love neighbor. And when the people are not focusing on that which is about love for God and neighbor, there is a need, a call to turn around and live. Paul quotes one of the earliest hymns in his letter to the Philippians. The hymn notes that Jesus emptied himself, humbled himself. The call for the church is to be of the same mind as Jesus, to open self to what God is already doing within each and every one. In this way, Paul calls on the church to work out salvation with fear and trembling. This is important stuff. And Jesus, the author of Matthew, gives a glimpse of the final progression that is represented in a series of challenges. The stakes are high. If Jesus misses or loses in any one of the coming challenges, the game is over. His claims to speak for the reign of God and Matthew's argument for Jesus' power are empty. For the Pharisees, that would mean there would be no need to crucify him because his authority had been shown to be worthless. But Jesus came to transform the world, to call the world to change, to be converted, to turn. Jesus calls the faithful to work in the vineyard, to get behind him, to follow him. He is gifted in responding to the challenges, even as he opens the space for each one to be changed of mind, to turn around, to repent, to do the work ahead. And that work is to love God, love God's creation, tend, indeed, steward the environment as a neighbor, even as each one, the church, the congregation, the nation seeks to be about God's work. Each one of us has been gifted through the waters of baptism by and through God's grace and forgiveness to exercise the power of Jesus. That power is a power for healing and reconciliation. It is time to work in the vineyard. The stakes are too high to resist God's call, to resist the kingdom of heaven.
Thank you for listening. You are welcome to join St. Andrew's Lutheran Church in Columbia, Missouri for worship any weekend. More information can be found at saintandrewslutheran.org. That's saintandrewslutheran.org. Have a glorious week.